Hello and welcome to Back Chat, your podcast all about scoliosis, yoga and back care. My name is Christine Jaregi-Berry. I'm a yoga teacher, creator of the Yoga Berry Yoga for Scoliosis community and YouTube channel, and this show is all about supporting you on your scoliosis journey. So if you're looking for practical advice and inspiration on how to manage the condition with yoga and movement, then you're in the right place. Hello and welcome everyone. Welcome to Yoga Berry. Welcome to Back Chat. My name is Christine Jaregi-Berry and I do this every Wednesday afternoon, UK time, 4 p.m. If you ever want to join me live, welcome to those of you who are here live. I always really enjoy your questions and having a little conversation rather than us just talking to you. We can talk to each other, which makes it much more fun. And obviously welcome as well. If you are watching this on the replay next time, maybe consider joining us live. So I can see Laura is here. Hi, Laura. All my regulars, always nice to see you. So today I'm not here by myself, but I do have an interview guest, and it's the lovely Sarah Parker. She is a women's physio, and she will hopefully tell us as well what exactly she does and who she's helping. But we're going to be talking about all things pelvic floor. So I think this is going to be a really, really great conversation and so important. Yes, so let me bring her on right now. There she is. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, guys. Hi, how are you?
Very good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm so happy to be here.
Ah, excellent. A little bit different, you know, this different from the Insta chats and all of that, and Facebook, obviously, but equally fun. So we've got Liz here as well. She's from West Yorkshire, she says. And Laura is in Buenos Aires in Argentina. So, yeah.
That's all around the world. I love
all I'm, around like, the world. Yes.
The internet, isn't it? All around the world.
Exactly. Exactly. And I feel like especially over the last year with the pandemic, I think we've all kind of grown a little bit closer in some ways, at least kind of in this kind of sense that it's so much easier to connect with people. Absolutely. I feel from all over the world, which is really, really nice.
Yeah.
So why don't we start by tell us what is it exactly that you do and who is it that you're helping? Who are you doing that for?
Yeah, so I am a physiotherapist and I specialized in pelvic health a number of years ago now. And when I first kind of started out looking into these things, I was a reformer Pilates instructor, a musculoskeletal physiotherapist. And musculoskeletal is just the rest of the body, basically everything bar the pelvis, which is just blows my mind how you could just exclude a whole portion of the body when it does so much. And so I just started realizing how little info, education, services there were around pelvic health, whether that's male or female pelvic health. Particularly here in the UK, I know that other countries in the world are amazing with their pelvic health specialities. But in the UK, it's really undernourished, and pain, particularly women in pain, chronic pain, pregnancy services, and then postnatal rehab.
Yes.
It's useless, you know, and so, yeah, this just was coming out more and more to me how it needs more. We need more services for women, particularly around the childbearing year. You know, we're bringing humans into the world and it's this most magical part of the body, uterus, and wow, what's made in there. And for it to be just kind of shrugged off, what do you expect? You've had kids. Blows my mind. And so I created my Instagram, which is all about pelvic health and kind of crushing taboos and myths and making people more comfortable to talk about, you know, like fannies and vaginas, whatever you want to call it, to talk about it more, because the services are out there and people think that they're the only one experiencing what they're experiencing, so they don't want to go and tell anyone, particularly when it's around your private parts. Millions of people are experiencing the same thing all around the world all the time, and there are services out there that can help you rehab, recover, and get better from your body and your life. And so that's kind of the background of what I do. What I actually do is I assess bodies head to toe. And then if there's a pelvic health issue, I do an internal exam. So I actually do internally exam the muscles of the pelvic floor. We don't use speculums or beaks. We use one digit here. So we can test the muscles of the pelvic floor and make sure they're doing what they should be doing. And then I give tailored rehab surrounding what I find. And I love it. It's great. It's really, really good.
Yeah, it kind of made me think, well, first of all, I think just after I had my kids, I know that some of my friends were like talking about women's physio. And I was like, what is that even? I didn't even know that this existed. And I also felt like once the baby is out, you're kind of okay, you know, if you have to have like stitches or anything, you're being stitched up, but that's it then, really, you know, like as long as it's overall like functioning okay.
Well, it's not even that, it's is the baby well?
Yes,
is the baby alive? Well? Are you well and alive? Next. And just deal with whatever it is that you need to deal with. Like, you've had a kid. What do you expect?
Yeah, exactly. And it might not be immediately either, is it? I mean, I sometimes feel like, especially just after you have a child, you're just occupied with your baby, right? So you're in this kind of bubble, you're in this cloud. It's all about this baby. But at some point you get your life back and maybe start to kind of focus on yourself a little bit more. And then it's kind of like, well, is this normal? Is it not normal? You know, do you seek help? Do you not seek help? So, So I'm really glad that you're doing what you're doing.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I get stories. It's like, because over here we have the 6-week GP check. Mm-hmm. And it's at that point usually where they hear, what do you expect? Or 6 weeks, you can go back to exercise. Yeah, of course, go for it. And that's it. That's all you get. Not maybe you should go and see a physio, and you should probably have rehab after carrying a baby and birthing one. You know, any other reason for going into hospital, shoulder surgery, knee surgery, hip surgery, anything else, you'd have rehab. You'd have physio. Yes. You know, it just blows my mind.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's dive in a little bit deeper. So obviously my community is all about scoliosis. And I would imagine anyone who's watching has got scoliosis, or at least knows somebody, maybe has a loved one with scoliosis. So how does this, what is the connection? Why is it important? Why do we need to talk about this?
About scoliosis or about pelvic floor?
About pelvic floor, and what is the relationship? Is there a relationship?
Massively. So, I mean, spine, ribs, pelvis, and the way that we're made to function efficiently is everything is stacked one on top of the other. Mm-hmm. So if that is changed in any way, it's going to change the effectiveness of your core. And I say core in inverted commas, because we've kind of lost what the core is over the course of the years. It's just turned into your trunk. That's your core. And you can work your core by doing six pack exercises or like oblique exercises. And whereas when I learned about the core was transverse abs, it was your diaphragm, it was your pelvic floor, and it was these deep muscles of the spine. And so now we've lost that kind of connection, really. And in terms of if you have a scoliosis, it's going to mean things aren't stacked. And the thing with the pelvic floor and the core is it's all about managing intra-abdominal pressure, right? So every time you take a deep breath in, or any breath in, every time you take a breath in, your diaphragm moves down, mm-hmm. your waistband should expand, and your pelvic floor should go through what's called an eccentric load of the muscle. So it's strong as it lengthens, and then it goes through a contraction as you breathe out, and your diaphragm goes back up again. So it does this dance up and down, and it really kind of relies upon you being stacked, ribs, pelvis, one on top of the other. And so when we're talking about scoliosis, it kind of changes that in any yeah. way, wherever you have your rotation, wherever you have your curvature, it's going to change the way that your body responds to your breath, intra-abdominal pressure. It's going to change your ground force reactions, hey, because of the way that you're stacked, essentially, in the way that your body manages that intra-abdominal pressure. Mm. So, really, lots to think about when it comes to how scoliosis and pelvic floor or core work together, and it's a very intricate relationship.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if we just think about, and we were talking about this a few weeks ago about the hips and how they kind of shift away from the primary driving curvature. So the pelvis might be kind of slightly shifted over to one side, whereas the ribs are obviously over to the other side. So how would it come out in kind of breathing issues, or how does this?
Probably a bit of both, because you're going to have your diaphragm isn't, if you do have a higher up scoliosis as well, and your ribs can't expand, your diaphragm's not going to move down. So it's going to affect your organs. A huge part of the body that is totally forgotten about, what goes on inside when you move every day. Your organs move every day, and your diaphragm helps with that movement. So that's going to change stuff. The way that your ribs expand and the way that you breathe is so, so important, with also how you feel mentally, because vagus nerve and everything that's going on. And then it's going to, yeah, affect the pressure going through the pelvic floor. And it might be that you overcompensate. It might be that you undercompensate. You might have pressure-related incontinence or leaking because you're not managing that intra-abdominal pressure very well. So that would be more like stress urinary incontinence. Mm-hmm. So laughing, sneezing, coughing, jumping, running. If you're leaking with that, that might be an intra-abdominal pressure thing, which might be due to your scoliosis. But everything's individual. So if you are having any symptoms, leaking, pain in the pelvic area, pelvic girdle area, I would say get checked. Make sure you're switching on and switching off with the pelvic floor, and that you're breathing well. And but you guys do loads of breathwork stuff with your yoga, hey?
We do, yes. Even though, I mean, even in the yoga world, there is this discussion, obviously, of what's the right way to breathe, right? There's this, you know, there has been a time where it's been really kind of promoted to do the belly breathing, but then I think people went a little bit too much into this, and they were like pushing their bellies out, like, you know, going this way, and then it's all kind of coming back to, no, let's focus on the lower ribs, and that they're kind of expanding, and then you're not actually pushing your belly out. So what's your take on this? How do we breathe?
How do we breathe? I just, as long as you're not breathing the wrong way round,
right?
Which is paradoxical breathing. So like one of the first things I learned about in university as a physio learning, because we do respiratory physio as well. So that's everything to do with the chest and the lungs. And I learned about this thing called paradoxical breathing. And it's where you take a deep breath in and your belly goes in and your chest pumps up.
Right.
And I see, that's what I see all the time in clinic, is this and the belly goes in and out, down. And it just means, can mean, who knows without actually checking, that your diaphragm might not be moving up and down properly. And it also means that if your waistband isn't expanding, then you're not controlling that intra-abdominal pressure properly. And so the breathwork things that I teach have changed so much over the years. And the most important thing is that you are getting 360-degree breathing, that your whole ribs are expanding. And a lot of the time, people forget how important your back is. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, the focus has been a lot on the belly, but then you're so stiff through your upper back and you're not getting that expansion there as well. And so I've learned to train, yes, belly breathing to get away from paradoxical breathing, just to make sure that people are just, one, getting parasympathetic nervous system going, and two, just to feel how it feels to properly expand all the way through and down into the diaphragm. Mm-hmm. But then I teach, like you say, that lower rib, and I just get elastic TheraBands and then breathe into the TheraBand to get that breath going.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, to make sure you get that 360-degree breath. Mm. But as long as you're not sucking the belly in when you take a deep breath, then you should be breathing okay. When that's restful breathing, I mean, just your restful breathing.
Mm. Yeah, no, that's a great, I think the TheraBand is a great tip as well. Also, especially for those that have maybe a thoracic curvature and that find it really difficult to breathe into one side of the rib cage as well.
Yeah, pop a band on or get lying. This is what I did with a client of mine recently, actually. She'd actually had a fixation and then the fixation was removed. And she's getting quite a bit of pain because her curvature was right here. So we did some side lying breathing and I got her to breathe into some things and it really opened her up. And I can't ever tell what it was that did the trick, but her pain reduced back down to barely noticeable and able to do Pilates without being in pain. Mm-hmm. Breathing's a huge one and it will touch your pelvic floor at the same time. So that's double good.
Double good. Good. Let me just acknowledge the guys here in the chat. So Tatiana is here and Natalia is here saying able to listen live, which is great. Sadie is here from South Yorkshire. We had another one. Oh, we had someone from West Yorkshire and someone from South Yorkshire. Good. And then there's Liz here as well. Okay, lovely. So guys, let us know if you've got any questions, obviously, for Sarah. But I want to kind of go a little bit more into the symptoms. So how do we know we've got an issue in this area, and when do we need to seek help or investigate a little bit further?
So I would say that if you were having any pain, and by pain I mean painful penetrative sex, if that's uncomfortable for you, any leaking, whether that means you can't get to the loo on time, or you leak with laughing, jumping, sneezing, running, if you're having any issues with back passage as well, get yourself checked out. Any incontinence there, leaking, or can't control gas, or can't tell the difference. It's all going to be kind of to do with what's going on in the nerves and the pelvic floor. And I would say that would be a time to definitely get yourself checked out. Also, physio is really good for endometriosis and that kind of pain, any pelvic pain we can manage as well. But those are the main symptoms. If you're getting leaking, pain, come and see. If you're rehabbing from birth, definitely see a pelvic health specialist just to make sure that you're rehabbing kind of slowly and not rushing things and then getting symptoms. Oh, and prolapse.
Yes.
Prolapse. Yes, and those symptoms of prolapse don't have to be that you see things falling out of your vagina. They can be as little as just feeling that things aren't in the right place, or you feel bearing down, or you feel heaviness or dragging. Or some bladder symptoms as well. Needing to go to the loo, you get there, there's nothing to pass. These kind of symptoms.
What did I want to say? Oh, I wanted to ask you about, so what do you see as kind of the, is there like a pattern of what are kind of the main problems with people? Is it that they're not strong enough, or is it that everything is too tight, or what's kind of the...
Kind of a mixed bag. The most common thing that I see is not breathing right. Mm-hmm. But a really, really mixed bag with pelvic floor symptoms. And usually it's that pelvic floor is working, could do with a bit more power, or endurance is not quite there. I see pain with things like post-birth tears. And sometimes I see overactivity of the pelvic floor, and we can manage that with massage and breathing as well. Mm-hmm. And so we do internal massage for muscles and re-recruiting sides of the pelvic floor that aren't quite up to power as the other side. So I do see a lot of that kind of one side stronger than the other.
Right.
Yes. So it's all cute. It's such a mixed bag that I see day to day. So just reacting to whatever I see in the body and then in the pelvic floor itself when I do the examination.
Because I can imagine with if you have a curvature in your lower spine, and we know obviously that there is a difference in the psoas muscle feels different on one side to the other. That will also have an effect on the pelvic floor, right? So,
well, yeah. So it's they're connected via fascia, mm-hmm. but it's also your pelvic floor might feel like it needs to one side pick up the kind of weakness that are being displayed in other muscles, or that are not weakness, underactivity, because your pelvic floor is connected to your hips. And so if you've got this shift in the pelvis or that shift in those hips, your pelvic floor might feel like it just needs to pick up that kind of slack, basically, and say, right, guys, don't worry, I've got this, I'll stabilize. And then one side you might feel that you've got a little bit more over-recruited than the other side. And you might not know that that's happening. You might have a tight hip, or you might have groin issues, or you might have lower back issues. So pelvic floor can show up in lower back issues as well. And then you have to think about what scoliosis does to your bowels and how they function. And bowel health plays a huge role in pelvic health and also back health. Mm. So it's all interconnected and so, so individual. So it is really important to get yourself checked if you're having anything come up at all. And it sometimes takes another eye. In terms of if you go and see an MSK physio, they might not be thinking about pelvic floor. Or if you see a scoliosis specialist, they might not be thinking about pelvic floor. And it can play a huge role in what's going on in your hips and your lower back. You know, over-recruited pelvic floor can end up with in lower back pain, and so you're kind of digging away at maybe what you think might be a scoliosis issue, and it could actually be dealt with pelvic floor. And we've spoken about this before, haven't we, that I had a client of mine, must have been 2 years ago, And he said to me that when that he's got a scoliosis, and when he was younger, he was just going for physio after physio, osteo, this trying to sort the scoliosis pain out, or scoliosis pain, because it wasn't that. They gave him some, he went to see a pelvic floor specialist just on the off chance. I think the NHS GP was like, I'm running out of things to do for see a pelvic floor specialist.
Try that, yes.
And did some pelvic floor work, and the pain dramatically reduced.
Brilliant.
The pelvic floor stuff. So it's just about having a different set of eyes on things. So if you are with your scoliosis struggling with pain, go and seek advice from somewhere, someone else that's a specialist in another area, like pelvic health, because there might be something going on deep in the pelvis that's potentially adding to that pain, because we know, you know, pain is such a complex thing. It might just need a different set of eyes.
Yeah, definitely different perspective. And and also, I mean, now you mentioned, obviously, when we think about pelvic floor, you know, well, I personally associated with pregnancy, giving birth, being a woman, but men obviously also have a pelvic floor, right?
Absolutely. Everyone has a pelvic floor, and it works so hard every day to keep your, to give you stability, you know, and that's another thing we're kind of learning a little bit more about now, is this kind of whole core control and core stability, and coming away from this kind of mindset that to have core stability, you must be able to fully engage your pelvic floor and fully engage your TVA and then do your movement. It's not how the body works from research that we've read. Your core is constantly working for you without you having to think about it. It's a reflex. They are muscles that they don't react. They are proactive. So before you even think about moving your body, your core is already switched on. And so by thinking of this kind of core activation, then move, you're interrupting those pathways really of how to really give your body core stability. And it's a fluid thing. It's constantly changing, constantly moving, and it's adaptable, and it's not static in any way. So yeah, that's what I'm trying to teach a lot of people now, is that you don't have to have a static, strong midsection to have core stability. You know, it needs to be mobile. You need to be breathing properly.
Yeah. So actually, those, when we kind of see six pack muscles, that doesn't necessarily mean that they have a strong core. Is that, that's kind of what I'm hearing.
It's really confusing, because I see PTs say, here's core exercises, but then it's targeting rec abs, obliques, and then erect spinae muscles, right? Whereas that's not, it confuses me, because that's not core. That's not your core. That doesn't mean you've got core stability. It just means you've got power. You know, like if you've got a big six pack, it means you've got really good trunk flexion power.
And it's almost like it's the shell, right?
They're the global muscles. Yeah, they're really good for if you want to, you know, flex your trunk. And similarly for a strong back, it's like really good if you want to extend your back. But having actual decent core is a bit more complicated, but not, if you know what I mean, because we've overcomplicated it as humans. We've gone, how can I get myself a stronger core? And it's like, well, no, it's strong anyway. Just let it do it. Stop interrupting it. It knows this is far more clever than we actually are, which blows my mind as well, because we own them. But it knows what it's doing. Yeah. Just give it a chance.
Yes, give it a chance. Yeah, no, that's such a good point, isn't it? Because so many times this is like the first thing, and I probably say it as well. Oh, we need a little bit more core stability to support the body. But
if you didn't have it, you'd be on the floor.
You wouldn't just be a floor.
Definitely a six pack won't keep you upright.
Yeah. And I was thinking as well, I mean, coming back to kind of pelvic floor and our perception of this is, I mean, when I was pregnant, certainly, and I did some Pilates classes for pregnancy, we did a lot of pelvic floor exercises. Mm. And then this is kind of all that we're taught is this kind of gripping, pulling in. And this stays in your mind, right? This kind of stays with you that even afterwards. And I told you before, I had a client who was told, and she had a prolapse, and we were working on her scoliosis together. And she was like, oh, in bridge pose, I've been told I need to grip, I need to tighten, I need to pull in the pelvic floor for the whole time I'm doing my bridge pose.
Yeah.
What do you think about this?
Yeah, I mean, that's like, I mean, I don't know who told her that, but there's quite like, there's a big community of people that think that that's the done thing. And it's quite widely known in Ashtanga yoga. Pelvic floor is like over-cued massively. Mm. So my thing with the pelvic floor is, like I said before, it works no matter what, as long as you're breathing okay. And you're moving, your pelvic floor should be doing its job. If it isn't, you'll know about it. And like with your client, if she's got a prolapse and she knows that there's something going on, but that generally doesn't mean pelvic floor is weak. I've seen prolapses with mostly over-recruited pelvic floors because they're trying to hold everything up again. So you have to work in releasing stuff. And it might be because they've been told you must squeeze and hold and lift and do all of this to try and keep everything inside. So they've been going, and then they've over-recruited pelvic floor. Mm-hmm. And you can get similar symptoms from an over-recruited pelvic floor as you do with an under-active pelvic floor. You can get the same leaking and pain. And so my thing with training the pelvic floor is, if you've got a dysfunction and I've seen you, and I know that something's going on, I'll give you exactly what you need to do to get whatever it is that we found back even again. Either work on endurance, or we work on power, or you're going to pop a thumb in and make sure that you're recruiting on that right side with a little bit of active hip work, mm-hmm. Breath work, or pelvic floor stretches, or you're going to go and do some internal work to release the muscles off before you start doing your pelvic floor exercises. Then when you've got a good strong squeeze and a good strong relaxation and good endurance, then I move away from pelvic floor, just pelvic floor exercises. Mm. It's not going to benefit you. Your pelvic floor works best when you're up and moving, because that's what it does. It stops you from wetting yourself and gives you stability when you're moving around. And so that's the most important thing, is to use it in function. And so then as soon as I can, I get away from just doing Kegels and I do actual moving. And if it needs, I will do pelvic floor with the movement, but there's always breathing involved, never gripping, never breath holding, and never squeezing fully pelvic floor constantly. It's always a motion through. It's like any other muscle in the body. You have a range of motion, don't you? This bicep muscle has its full range from fully extended to fully contracted, and it needs to have that full range to be fully functioning. If you were fixed here, you wouldn't be able to use your arm properly, or if you were fixed straight, you wouldn't be able to use your arm properly. So like that, your pelvic floor has to have a range, and it has to have function, and function only comes from just doing moving.
So. Is there something that you recommend that people can do, like as like a general maintenance, or like a...
Well, just breathing. Make sure you're breathing. You're not gripping your abs. You're relaxing your abs, letting your pelvic floor do its job. You're not holding on. If you're exercising, breathe. Inhale, exhale, and make sure you're fully expanding through the waistband and you're not gripping through the abs, like the... Pull your belly to spine and then move. That means you're engaging your six-pack abs, so you're stopping this expansion of your tummy. If you need a little bit more, then you can use breath again, but make sure you're breathing and not breath holding. So you can breathe out through pursed lips, mm-hmm. and you automatically feel pelvic floor and TVA just get a bit more tension in it by doing the pursed lip breathing. But there's, yeah, coming away from that grip abs or grip pelvic floor, yeah. I would say, and breathe, and let go of your belly.
Because in some yoga schools and some, you know, some styles of yoga, you're kind of told to do the Ujjayi breath, which is different, right? It doesn't quite do the same thing, I feel.
Yeah. No, it doesn't.
But you're kind of told to do it all the time.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't give enough power as that does. Because you're blocking the exhale, and so it just increases that fascial tension in the trunk with the pursed lip breath, whereas Ujjayi breath doesn't change anything, does it? Not for me anyway.
Yeah, and then shushing is another one, isn't it?
Very good for getting pelvic floor, because again, it just stops the exhale, but it doesn't stop you from exhaling. You're still breathing. So the most important thing is that you continue to breathe, you know?
Okay, good. I hope you all hear this. We have to continue.
Yeah. Oh, and then another thing.
Yeah.
Is foot exercises.
Okay. Tell us.
Your feet are connected to your pelvic floor via fascial lines. I don't know if anyone's, have you read Thomas Meyer's Anatomy Trains?
Oh, yes. And I've got Meredith Stevens, who's Anatomy Trains trainer next week, actually. Uh-huh. So she's going to talk to us as well.
I'm going to log in for the, if I don't have anyone booked. But anyway, great. Brilliant. I saw that. I was like, Anatomy Trains? So it is Anatomy Trains trainer. That's really cool. Yeah. So, yeah, foot, pelvic floor, diaphragm, heart, lungs, the outside of the lungs, up through the neck and to your temple and jaw. They're all called the deep frontal line. Mm-hmm. So your feet are connected to your pelvic floor in that way, so muscular. Inside our brains, we have our two homunculi, the small person in your brain. You have a map of your whole body in your brain around here and here, motor and sensory.
Yeah.
And right in the middle of your brain, where your two sides kind of meet together in here, your genitals are right next to your feet.
Right.
And things that fire together wire together.
Interesting.
So always give foot exercises. Oh, and I just remembered I forgot to attach foot exercises. foot exercises are really, really important. Obviously, because we kind of put our feet in awful shoes.
Yes, yeah.
Foot coffins, as Dr. Perry calls them. So you're kind of killing your and your feet and your diaphragm, they work together because I mean, it's all connected.
It's all connected, yes. And then obviously this as well with scoliosis, rotation in the pelvis. Yeah. Everyone has got like a rotation in the leg, in the foot, in the knee, in, you know, it all goes kind of all the way down.
Absolutely.
Arch maybe.
Yeah. And if you've got rotation in your pelvic floor, literally is attached to the fascia of one of your external rotators of your hip. So if you've got anything going on in that hip, your pelvic floor is probably going to go, don't worry, I've got this.
Very interesting. Yes.
Yeah.
Giving us a good new perspective here. So I can see everyone is just saying hello. Shalina is just tuning in from Canada. We've got Carly from the US. So let us know. Last call if anyone has got any questions. But Sarah, why don't you tell us where we can find information, where we can find you, if we're kind of wanting. I know this is always a sensitive topic. This is probably why the chat has gone a little bit quiet.
Yeah,
I'm having a problem.
I know. No one's going to say, yeah, you know, I wet myself the other day.
Yeah.
And this is why I want to make people feel comfortable in saying those things, because it happens all around the world all the time. And I used to wet myself, and I was a teenager, and I was at school, and I was doing trampolining. And I used to wet myself every time I jumped on a trampoline. I think it was hilarious. Oh, piss myself. And then I'd run off to the loo. But it is not. And we're seeing it a lot with kids right now, because kids are doing lots of exercise, particularly like gymnastics and stuff with girls. And we're giving them really strong abs, and strong abs doesn't allow for that expansion. And so you get this stress urinary incontinence. So we need to talk about it more. And so, yeah, I'm on my Instagram talking about all things pelvic health, and that's Sarah Parker Physio. Yay! And then my website is sarahparkerphysio.com, easy peasy. And then if you want to email me with any questions, if you're too, if you don't want to ask on here, because who would? Well, I probably would, but that's just me. No boundaries. Email me, sarahparkerphysio@gmail.com. And I am doing virtual assessments. So if you're not able to get me here in Southeast London, I am doing virtual assessments. And a lot of the time, you can do internal exams on yourself, but a lot of the time, it's like I said before, it'll be a pressure management thing. And so having a look at how you breathe and how you move and how you manage your scoliosis with movement, we can do all of that virtually through sending videos and stuff. Oh, wow.
So we've got a thoracic lumbar scoliosis, shift of got 35, I would imagine that's degrees curve, and it feels like major pressure on my bladder, unable to stand straight. Any suggestions?
Thoracic lumbar scoliosis and my lower spine is shifting. I've got a 35 degree curve and it feels like major pressure.
So it's obviously all kind of going on in that lower region, maybe pressing on the bladder in some ways, obviously.
So difficult to know without actually seeing you and what's going on, and where, because there might be some fascial tightness that needs to be released around the belly button and the bladder. Some release away from that. Mm. I would start with breath. And if it is if you can correct it, coming like you would teach in your yoga, Christine, is coming into as much as you can that corrected position and breathing there and seeing if you can take that pressure off the bladder. Mm. I'd like to know more. I need to know more about where you're feeling that pressure.
And then she's saying it's causing pain in the legs as well.
Yeah, so that sounds like there is a nerve thing going on. I'm glad you've got an MRI, because, the bladder pain could be a neuropathic thing coming from any pinched nerves in your lower spine and sacrum. So I'm glad you've got an MRI. But breathing and pain, really, really important.
Mm.
And get your hands on your belly. Give yourself a belly rub.
Mm.
Nice and gentle, because we forget this part of our body. We just concentrate, particularly if it's your back. It's like, what can we do at the back? Well, loads going on at the front. Belly button's connected to bladder. Belly button's connected to the rest of your body. All your organs connect there. It's where we began life, hey, belly button. So give yourself a belly rub and do some breath work.
Mm. Here's another one here. This is slightly different, but maybe you've got some thoughts on this. Every time I stretch my right leg out, there's a cracking sound somewhere around my inner thigh. Something to do with the tissue or muscle?
Ooh, again, difficult to know without seeing you and where that is. Stretch my leg out.
If it's popping,
it might be a psoas pop over the hip.
Mm.
If you get it in like cycle abs, you know, when you're cycling your legs, or like Pilates scissors or anything like that. It might be psoas.
Yeah, I sometimes get this when I do triangle pose or something like that with it.
Yeah, I get it a lot if I do any kind of, yeah, any leg ab movements.
Yeah.
Oops.
Good. So Natalia saying thank you for this talk. To be honest, it's all new to me. Pelvic floor specialists are
PT. Yes, we're physiotherapists. That's the other thing. Nobody knows that that's what we do.
How would I even try to find the one? Right.
Yeah, so pelvic floor physiotherapist. Google. Where are you in the world, Natalia? Because if you just Google pelvic floor physiotherapy, you will be able to find someone near you. Because it would be either called pelvic health physiotherapist or pelvic floor physiotherapist or women's health physiotherapist.
Right, different names. Same thing, different names.
Having to pee all the time, connected with pelvic floor. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I would definitely go and get checked.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much, Sarah. I know that you've got a session, obviously.
I do at 5, a mummy MOT. So that's another thing I do is postnatal rehab, mummy MOT.
Brilliant.
So I was going to suggest to Natalia, she's in England.
Portugal, actually. She has she's in Portugal.
Yeah. Oh, I don't think that. You go on the mummy MOT website and they might have Portugal. I don't know. People do fly into London to do that course.
Wow. Amazing.
So
good. Yes. And I will put it in the description as well. So you've got it there. Connect with Sarah, obviously, on her Instagram. I'll bring it up one more time. So you can connect with her. There's some amazing. I love all your little videos about pooing and peeing, you know.
Yeah, so a little bit shocking at times, but it makes people talk, you know.
It makes people talk and it makes,
Absolutely. And take action. Action is the most important thing, and it's never too late as well. If you think, you know, you've obviously been born with your scoliosis, but it's never too late to try something new.
Yes, exactly. Especially as you say, if you were seeking all the help and, you know, you've still got pain, you know, it might just be something, looking at it from a different angle or having a different perspective.
Yeah.
Great. So thank you so much, Sarah. That was great.
Thanks for having me.
Lovely. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for watching. And as I said, next week, I've got Meredith Stevens. She knows all about anatomy trains and she knows all about Schroth Barcelona as well. So amazing combination.
Oh, that's going to be so good.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye. I hope you enjoyed this episode, and if you did, I would be super grateful if you could leave me a 5-star rating and review, which will help me to create lots more amazing content. If you have any questions or suggestions, reach out to me on Instagram at yogaberry.scoliosis or visit my website at www.yogaberry.net.